Roger Fidler. I'm the Program Director for Digital Publishing at the Reynolds Journalism Institute at the University of Missouri.
Okay. And if you can just kind of briefly tell me about the studies that you've been embarking on regarding, I guess, our newest form of digital media.
Well, we've been studying the how people consume news on the new Apple iPad, and we had 1,600 people who participated in our online survey that gave us a great deal of insights on what newspapers can expect in 2011. One of the findings of the survey was that people do seem to prefer the news apps for gathering news rather than browsing on the web browser that they have on the iPad. So that's probably good news for newspaper publishers who are hoping to be able to turn their apps into revenue-generating products in 2011. One of the downsides, however, we found is that they need to recognize that the more that people use their iPad, the more likely they are to cancel their print subscriptions to newspapers. We found a fairly significant percentage of people indicated that they were considering canceling their print subscriptions within 6 months. And these are the people who are currently gathering news on their iPad, spending about an hour a day or more doing that. We found that the iPad is actually preferred for getting news over many of the other devices that are on the market today, and even over the PC. So very strong showing. It definitely is a product that publishers will need to take seriously.
We all know newspapers are struggling to reach their readers amid the evolving multimedia technology. But coming from the newspaper business myself, it's the advertising that's paying their salaries. It's not really the subscriptions. So that said, you know, the fact that people are looking at canceling their subscriptions, as long as they're still consuming the ads that advertisers are paying, if those go along with those apps, it should not be detrimental to newspapers, right?
Well, that's the real challenge. And newspapers are not going to make sufficient revenue just from circulation revenue alone or subscription revenue on the iPad. It has to have advertising to be successful. And that's been the real challenge, is to bring the advertisers on board, show them the value of the product, and to be able to get sufficient revenue from the advertising to offset the losses that they will have from the declining print circulation. The belief is that because the iPad provides a more visually rich and media-rich environment for editorial content as well as advertising, that publishers will be able to charge a higher rate for the advertising on their iPad apps than they currently can charge on the web. The web rates are quite low, and they offer for as dimes on the dollar compared to print. But these early studies do seem to indicate that that newspapers could build a loyal following on the iPad, and that they would be able to provide advertisers with the demographic that they would be looking for. What we found in our survey, and it's been confirmed by other surveys that have been done on the iPad, is that at least for this year, the early adopters of the iPad are generally affluent, well-educated men, and they're between the age of 35 and 64. That's a very desirable demographic, and one that newspapers will hope to be able to draw sufficient advertising into to justify their costs and then also to help their profit.
What are some of the news apps that users used? Give me an example. Are they larger newspapers?
At this point, they're almost all the larger national or regional newspapers. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Washington Post are now the dominant newspaper apps, and which is not surprising because the iPad is pretty evenly distributed across the country, not generally concentrated in just one local region. And right now, of course, all of the newspaper apps except for the Wall Street Journal are free. That will change in January, February of next year. There will be a new operating system for the iPad that will allow publishers to be able to have renewing subscriptions within an app for newspapers, and all of the national newspapers that I'm aware of are expecting to charge a subscription for their editions.
Any Missouri newspapers have apps available at this point?
None that I am aware of. I know there's quite a bit of discussion going on about developing the apps for small papers or medium-sized papers. We just had a symposium at the Reynolds Journalism Institute last week, and that's really one of the discussions that we're having is how the regional and smaller community newspapers could take advantage of the iPad. At the moment, producing an app is a fairly expensive proposition, and it'll take a while before the cost of producing and maintaining an app on the iPad would be reasonable enough for a small paper to undertake it. And everybody's going to be watching, of course, to see what the larger newspapers do first before they jump in.
How is it different on an iPad than it would be just going to a website on mm-hmm. your computer or laptop?
Well, a number of things. I mean, one, the iPad, because it's something you hold, more like holding a book or a publication, it feels more like print than the web. And the web, when you're on your computer, tends to feel more like work, and it's not as compelling. We also find that in the apps, we hear from many of the people that we've talked with about this, that what they like in the app is more of the feeling like a print publication, that it has a beginning and an end. They know when they finished it. Whereas on the web, you sort of have that feeling that it goes on forever, and you never quite know when you're done. Obviously, appeals to lots of different people, and one doesn't necessarily cancel out the other. If a person uses a newspaper app, doesn't mean that they aren't going to use the web for information as well. What we sense from this and the information that we've gotten from other surveys as well is that when people are getting news from the web or getting it from their smartphone, they're essentially snacking on the news. When they're reading it in print, they're essentially dining on the news. They're spending more time with it, and the evidence shows that on the iPad, people do spend more time with the newspaper when they're reading it within an app than they do when they're reading it on a website, which obviously is very appealing for advertisers.
Did anything about the surveys that you conducted from your users, did anything surprise you?
Well, the biggest surprise we had is the high percentage of the respondents who indicated that they already subscribed to a newspaper, but were very likely or somewhat likely to cancel their subscription for the print product within 6 months and switch to a paid app on the iPad. That was much higher than I expected. I thought it would take them longer to be able to make that switch. And that's a real concern for newspapers, is how rapidly people make that switch. Obviously, print publishers are not eager to have people switch too quickly, and it needs to be managed by the newspaper. Otherwise, the revenue loss could be quite significant if they can't bring the advertising quickly into the iPad apps.
Do you think that your findings will eventually cross over into radio and television news?
Well, I think we're already seeing it. NPR and others have very successful apps on the iPad, and we're seeing it, in all forms of news media moving to the iPad. So, yes, I think it's likely to impact all media. I think, to put it in perspective, though, keeping in mind that we're talking about early adopters at this point, and it's still going to be probably a couple of years before we have a clear indication that people are. Making that switch to digital onto the iPad, and that they will stay with it once they have made that switch.
There were mixed reviews when the iPad came out. Some people said it was going to change the way information consumption works as we know mm-hmm. it. Other people said it's a glorified iPhone. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion?
Well, you know, some people think of it as just a supersized iPhone or a stripped-down laptop computer, and it's really neither of those. The iPad is the iPad. It's not really a tablet PC either. It's a new computing device. Some people now referring to them as media tablets. But the big difference with the iPad over other tablet PCs on the market is the iPad is definitely designed primarily for consuming content rather than for creating. You can create content on it, but its primary purpose is for consuming all different types of media, whether it's a movie, a television program, a radio program, or print media from a newspaper or a magazine. So we'll see that evolving, I think, quite rapidly over the next year or two as publishers and broadcasters learn how to use the device more effectively to reach their audience and to attract the advertisers that obviously will help them to profit from it.
What is the do you think that the iPad consumers or people who are buying them, does that match your news consuming demographic you mentioned earlier? You said affluent young men between 35 and something. Do you think it's that same group?
Yeah, I mean the group that the iPad is attracting now, the affluent, well-educated men who are between 35 and 64, is obviously a very appealing demographic for all media, because that's where the income is to be able to purchase the goods that advertising or the services as well. And they tend to be more loyal followers of news media of all types. So that audience is probably the one that's going to shape the iPad news apps over the next year or two. Now, what will be interesting, and we'll be following it with our research over the next couple of years, is how that demographic changes over time, whether we'll see the audience for the iPad moving more into a broader audience, of including more women at the audience, a younger audience, and an older audience. What we are finding that was interesting, I think, is that that in the age group of 65 and older, there was still a significant number of people who took our survey who indicated they were very satisfied with the iPad. And we also found that there was a significant group under 35 that also had purchased iPads and were satisfied with it. I mean, the satisfaction with the iPad is extremely high, and I think other surveys have confirmed it as well. This has had one of the highest rates of satisfaction that anyone has seen with any product in recent years. So that bodes very well for the iPad being a very successful product. And of course, there'll be competing tablets in the market as well. Some are coming on the market now, and they will, of course, add another dimension to this.
I assume you have one?
Oh, I have one, yes. And I had one the first day that it came out. Came to UPS driver, brought it to my door, and was very excited to get it. But like many people, when I first got it, I wasn't sure, what am I going to do with it? You know, how does it fit into my life? And but now that I've had it a while, and I have it with me all the time, I take it with me if I go shopping at the mall with my wife, or between my office and home. Like most of the people who took our survey, the majority of them actually do use their iPad at home, and because it is easy to carry around in your home, you can take it with you to the table if you want to read. It's quite convenient, so it has become a part of my life now, and I think, you know, from what we're hearing from people that took our surveys, that they indicated that it has also become an important part of their lives as well. So contrary to a lot of the skeptics who thought that, you know, well, this, no one would really want this or find much use for it, that certainly doesn't seem to be the case.
Okay. I don't think I have any other questions. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, it does look like the iPad is going to be very popular as a Christmas gift this year. That's one of the things we're also hearing. And also the e-readers are still doing very well, too. So people who thought that the iPad would kill the the Kindle, I think, have been quite wrong, too. The Kindle still has a niche as well.
But they do serve two different functions.
Two different audiences. I think that's the thing that people confuse, is that an e-reader is designed to be a single-purpose device, primarily for reading books. And if you're a person who enjoys reading books, the e-reader is probably quite adequate. If you're looking for something more, be able to, you know, get your email on it, to be able to read magazines and newspapers in a much more visually rich environment, then the iPad is certainly the one to choose.
Okay, very good. Well, that's what I'm getting for Christmas. I'm excited. So,
okay, you're going to get an iPad?
Yes. Uh-huh. Actually, my boyfriend bought it about a month ago, but he won't let me have it until Christmas. So it's been taunting me from the corner in the box.
After you've had it for a while, email let me know what you think of it. And so we are going to be repeating our surveys next year, and anything you do to help spread the word to get other people to take the survey would be really appreciated.
Sure. Cool. Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of an Apple geek. I've got the, you know, MacBook and iPhone and iPad or iPod, so I'm just adding this to my collection. I'm really excited about it, though. So I'm glad I got to talk to you. It's kind of self-serving as well as getting the news out there to our listeners.
Right.
So I appreciate your time, and I will. I'll let you know how I get to know and how to use it and how it's working out.
All right.
All right.
Good.
Thank you.
All
happy holidays
to you.
You
too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.